Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment, offering over 150,000 titles to choose from. Listeners of the NLP View on the Organic View Radio Network can get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial today by signing up at www.audibletrial.com/The Organic View. Once again, that's www.audibletrial.com/theorganicview. Welcome to the NLP View with your host, Donna Blinston. Each week, Donna will explore how the techniques of NLP can help improve your personal and professional life. And now, here's your host, Donna Blinston.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NLP View. My name is Donna Blinston. Today's guest is Tom Oberbichler, author of the best-selling book, Be Wonderful, How to Be Emotionally Successful with Applied NLP. Success is a very personal thing, which is unique for each and every person. Many people believe that success means to be rich, or at least they perceive that people who are rich are successful. Yet surely there's no point in being rich if you're unhappy. It is true that money can buy you many things, all of which provide a temporary fix, temporary being the optimal word. Real success comes from a quality of your relationships and the emotions that you experience each day. Neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, is a study of human excellence, focusing on the difference that makes a difference in every successful outcome. Be Wonderful, How to Be Emotionally Successful with Applied NLP, is an invitation to accept challenges and to use them for yourself. Through a series of individual stories, Tom Oberbichler explains his personal experience and development. The book is full of NLP techniques, tricks, and methods that Tom personally used to achieve his own emotional success. So I'd like to welcome to the show Tom Oberbichler. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Donna.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you on the show.
Thank you. It's really good to have you on the show. And, well, I want to firstly start by thanking you for writing your book, which I believe started out as a weekly blog that you were writing on self-improvement.
Yeah, that's right. When I really got into NLP, one of the things that I picked up from Dr. Richard Bandler, the co-creator of NLP, is that he said, if you want to become really excellent at using the hypnotic language patterns, what you have to do is you have to write them on a daily basis. And I've always been a person that when I wanted to do something, I wanted to try it for myself. I wanted to use it for myself before I started to offer it to other people. So what I did is actually in February of 2011, I started a weekly blog in German that was, where I kind of started to tell stories that I could relate to the techniques, to the whole model of NLP that I got to learn. And I kept doing so for more than half a year. And to make a book out of it was kind of the logical next step for me, where I took all the texts and I worked them over, I enhanced it, I wrote some stories new, and I enhance the overall performance of the hypnotic language patterns I used. And then I started to publish it in German first, in May of this year, and followed up with an English edition this fall.
Wow. Quite an achievement. A huge achievement. And I know through reading your book, it is full of... Well, I guess what I like the most about your book was the way it is. It's very easy to read. It's intriguing. You want to go on and read the next story, all the different pieces that make it up. And It's very much you learn, well, I found that I was learning about myself more as I was reading, which is a nice change from a lot of the NLP textbooks that are out there. It's a gradual learning process that you learn through the hypnotic language that you use.
Mm-hmm. Well, that for me, that's one of the miracles of life is that what I aim to achieve is to make things simple. You know, that there's no use in making life more complex than it already seems for a lot of people. It's what I want to do is that if somebody just, if they never had any experience with NLP and to pick up my book, I want them to be able to benefit from it. And on the other side, people like you that are very well accustomed with NLP and use the techniques all the time, I want for them to find something in it as well. And the wonderful thing I've learned for myself is that this kind of talk on two different levels, you know. There's some information for the conscious part of your mind, and there's some information that's directly at the other conscious part of your mind. And that way it helps you to adapt and accept change a lot faster and easier.
Yes, it does. It does. And I like the way you have written it on the two levels. And you can read it both as almost as a resource for, as an NLP practitioner yourself, to look at ways of using the way you've used the tools and the way you've integrated it into the work and seeing the way it's enhanced yourself personally to enable us as the practitioner to be able to use it in different ways for our clients, as well as having it as a book that we can personally benefit from. It's brilliant from my perspective. It was really good.
Thank you, Donna.
One thing that's talked about a lot, as I touched in the introduction, was around what actually is success. What is success to you?
Well, to me, in the end, I measure my success in the situations that I don't really like. You know, for me, success is, and that's why I call it emotional success. It's about how do I feel. And while I accept the fact that I seems to be that I can't feel really good all the time, because, you know, I mean, let's be honest, shit happens in life, and there are some situations that are really tough, and you have to get going again, and that's the situation when I really realized how successful I am, because I've got this, my little happiness machine, that's one of the chapters in the book as well. It's kind of a built-in thing that as soon as I get this bad emotion in reaction to a situation, an event, to something somebody says or something that happens, very soon, and I'm talking mainly about minutes, I've got a question in my head that says, okay, Tom, how long do you want to feel that bad? And the magical thing about that is it breaks the state, you know? I kind of get to view myself from the outside, and then it kind of kicks in, and I start doing something that's meaningful to me, and I start improving step by step from a not-too-good feeling to a bit better feeling, and it doesn't take me long to get back to a really good state, and that's when I make my decisions. And if I make my decisions in a situation, in a state where I'm feeling really good and confident in myself, I make good decisions, and so I have success on other levels as well. It's like, I mean, it doesn't matter. For some people, you need manifestations of your success, your wealth. For some people, it may be a car. For some people, it's a beautiful house. What I do is I spend all my days doing things that I love to do, and I feel good about it. That's what for me is a definition of success. You know, it's not a kind of deal of doing some things that I don't like in order to be able to maybe at some later time do something I would like. But like, I get up in the morning and I look forward to the day ahead of me each and every day, because I know I will be spending my time with people that are good for me, that I'm good for, doing things that I love to do. And that's what, to me, what life is all about. And everybody, every human being is entitled to a wonderful life. You know, we're not talking about something that is okay. I'm talking about a life that truly feels wonderful.
I hear you, and I do agree. That's one thing I find with a lot of my clients is that many will come to me and they'll ask me, you know, they don't know what they want, to be honest. And when I ask them what they want, they often answer they want success. But when I dig deeper and I ask them, you know, how would you know that you've got success, or to act, can you act as if you are successful? They don't know how to do it. They don't know what it actually is that they're looking for. And I think often it's because they're looking for the perception of what success is meant to mean. You know, it is perceived that if you're rich, then you must be successful. Mm-hmm. Whereas I agree with you completely. Success is, it's that feeling of contentment and, well, that what you're doing and everything that you do is right for you, and it makes you happy, and that you want to go on and do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
for some people, it's quite hard.
I think that one of the challenges we all of us face in the societies we live in nowadays, that people are confronted through different sources, you know, in schools, in the media, with different role models that are proposed for almost everybody to be achievable, and something like, I don't know, they see all this Hollywood stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not what life's all about. And to be honest, if everybody who get a chance to have a little bit of insight in the life of some of these people that are proposed as role models, nobody would want that life, you know? I mean,
no, that is very true. A lot of it is a front, and we see what we're meant to see, not always what reality actually is.
Yeah, and to me, being rich means that I really have a look at the resources that are available for me right now, and I try. My goal is to feel the best in the given situation, and that it, if people come to me to help them with their writing or in with their emotional success, the first thing I work with people that come to me is what do you have already. And how is it possible for you to make the best of the situation you're in right now? Because that leads back to one thing, that if you're in a good state, if you're satisfied with what you have right now, if you're at peace with yourself and your situation, that's when you can start making plans for a wonderful future, not before.
It is. In your book, Tom, you've written many lovely stories that reflect your own views and your learnings. Which was the biggest or the most impacting one within your life that you wouldn't mind sharing with the audience?
I think change is the only constant in the universe. So I've been changing before NLP, and what I like best, and I think what has the strongest impact on me as a person, is that I no longer feel at mercy of some external forces. You know, I no longer look at responsibilities for my feelings and my emotions outside of me. When something happens and that gives me a very nice and comfortable feel of control over my own destiny, I'd say, because I know that whatever happens, you know, if it's, I don't know, it could be in a traffic situation or in a business situation or even in a private situation, you know, something happens, and it does keep happening to me, not as often as before, but now and then I have a disagreement, and I no longer look at somebody for somebody to blame for it. I just look at myself and see in which way I can change my behavior, in which way I can alter my strategies, so in order to cope better with it, to feel better and to make better decisions. I think that's the biggest impact NLP has had on my life.
I'd agree with you there. From the diploma onwards, at the diploma, we were taught about cause and effect, which is what I believe you're explaining, of how you can either be at cause for everything that happens in your life, or you can be at effect. And when you're at effect, you're the result of other people's behaviours. So So you're no longer in control. You're giving excuses and justifying what's happening and justifying your behaviour because of what somebody else is doing or has done, rather than taking control and taking responsibility for it. Because as you say, things do happen. They'll always happen. There will always be that day that didn't start off the way it was planned to start off. But it's how you deal with it and how you choose to respond to it that impacts the rest of the day. When we were taught, well, back in 2004 or 2005, I did my diploma, and Jeremy Lazarus is who I was trained by, and he said he invited us all to play a game for 2 weeks, and the game was to be at cause rather than to be at effect, and it was 2 weeks in between the two modules, and I'm still playing it now, and I'll never, I will never not play it, because it's transformed so many.
Yeah, that's one thing, you know. We gotta say, there's no way back, you know. Once you stop being a victim, you know, you kind of you keep being responsible for yourself, yeah.
Yeah, you do, and the results you get are I inspire myself, I guess, because of the way things have changed. I think, God, that was good. I want more of that.
Yeah.
Why have I chosen in the past to dwell on things and upset myself and let things get me down when I can just think, okay, hold my hands up, that was wrong, or she responded that way because of what I did in a different time. I'm not going to let it carry on, and I'll deal with it. And it just changes everything.
Yeah, that's true.
You mentioned just before about how you work with authors yourself to help as a writer's coach. Where has NLP come into that side with you?
Well, let's say I love to write for a long time, you know, but I never would have dreamt that it would be possible for me to successfully write and publish a book, you know. I thought there were many obstacles out there waiting for me, looking for a publisher, an agent, and stuff like that. And what I found out in my own experience is that today we're living in such a fantastic times, you know, with the digital revolution and all the possibilities are out there. I came to realize that, I mean, everybody carries a book in themselves. It's not just one. It's a lot of them. And since I found out, and I did everything myself when I started with my first book, there's no external forces, there are no external obstacles between anybody that wants to write a book and this book being published and to sell it and to even make good money with it, you know?
Yep.
It's quite nice the way Amazon is set up. So I came to realize if there's no external obstacle that keeps people from writing and publishing their books, it's only an internal process that needs to be changed in order for people to get going and realize their dreams. And I mean, you know it from your own experience. It's a wonderful feeling to have a book and have it published. And nowadays,
amazing.
As an ebook, it's lovely. And then you get the paperback and you can hold it in your hand. I mean, I've got with me right now. I just love jumping through it, you know. It's wonderful. And since we're talking about an internal process that can be changed, I'm talking about the beliefs that the people hold, you know. Like, I'm self-publishing my books, and for a long time writing and publishing was the only kind of business where it wasn't looked as a good thing to do it yourself. It's good to be an entrepreneur in all kinds of trades, but as a publisher, as a writer, you need a publishing house. And if you want to, well, go for it. I don't mind, but you don't have to. That's the thing that I can learn. I mean, I do coaching sessions with people that come to me, and in 6 weeks they have a small ebook out there on the market, and it can start making money for them as well.
Wow.
And
Sorry. I was going to say, there's a lot of when you say internal conflicts that stop mm-hmm. people from writing, there is a lot. There's a lot around their own beliefs and themselves and whether they're capable or whether what they've got to say, whether other people would be interested in it or not. So I can see where what you mean of how the internal conflicts that they've got with themselves can stop them from doing something that potentially could transform themselves and whoever reads their books.
Yeah. And it's, you know, on another level, at the like some parts of the model of NLP, like the meta programs and the different motivation strategies people have, the visual, auditive and kinesthetic channels and stuff like that, I can also help people to reach more people with the way they write when they do it. It's kind of making, so it's a process, it's really a whole one where you as a person communicate with another person on all levels that are possible via writing a book. And I love that. I love doing it and I love sharing it with people because in my world, you know, nowadays, now's the time to do it, you know? It's open the whole book market with the, especially around Amazon, but it's not the only channel you can use. It's wide open. It's just out there for you. If you don't want to write, okay, you don't have to write. But if you love writing nowadays and you want to share it with other people, just go for it. It's really easy.
It is, and it comes back to that principle that we've got in NLP of how the only person that can stop you doing something is yourself. And if it's something that you want to do bad enough and it's important enough to you, then you'll find a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing I did want to ask you, I've seen in quite a lot of your blogs that you mentioned that one of your main principles is you go first. Could you explain that a bit more for me? And for the audience.
happily. You know, that's one of the, for me, it's one of the basic principles I learned in NLP. I've seen it when I trained with Richard Bandel himself. He does it all the time. Whenever a client comes to me, the first thing I do is that I meet the person. You know, we call it rapport. I go to the level of emotions and state that they come in when they come to see me, and that's true for coaching sessions and in normal life it is as well, because what we do is we work with different states. We start with the state that's not that good. It could be hesitation, for example, and we move on towards from hesitation to frustration and on to kind of a curiosity, what might there be another way to do things, and then we start to get motivated and start going. So that's when I work, I use a lot of relaxed states. Some of you might call it hypnosis or self-hypnosis. Doesn't matter. It's about relaxation. It's about altering states. And I start doing it, and then I take the other person with me. And I would never tell people to do something and tried and tried successfully before. That would be nonsense. Whatever I write about in my books, whatever I tell people that come to see me, I have been there.
Yeah.
I've been out and I know. To me, I tell people always, don't believe me anything I say. Take it, go out there, test it for yourself. And then you see what part of it is good for you, what works for you, what works best for you, and which part maybe for you now at this point are not that useful. That's the job of the people, because I don't change anybody. People come to me and I help them to change themselves. But in order to do so, I have to experience all the stuff myself before. That's the way I see it.
I agree. That's one thing that I found with all the people I speak to who are like yourselves and published authors or high level master practitioners of NLP, they've all been on that journey themselves. So there's that rapport is a lot easier to get because you can be where that other person is already. Mm-hmm. You understand where those potential limiting beliefs are, how they're hooked together. We all go on a journey through life, and in the way you've elegantly written in your book of your journey and your learnings, you've integrated that together to show that it's part of life's journey and that the reader can come on that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could you tell our audience, Tom, how they can get in contact with you, your website, where they can buy your books from, your social media, all those details?
Sure, I'm glad. Well, I've got my blog where I'm blogging regularly each week. That would be wonderfulnow.com. You can come there, and I've got the links to Amazon where you can buy the books. My book is available in a Kindle edition and as paperback. And I've got a Facebook page where I share my views of the world as well, and some pictures and videos. That would be wonderful now. So if you go to Facebook, www.facebook.com/bewonderfulnow, you find my professional page. If you want to follow me personally on Facebook, you use facebook.com/TomOber, and that you found me on Twitter as well. And yeah, you can go to Amazon directly and search for a book, Be Wonderful, How to Be Emotionally Successful with Applied NLP. On my blog, I'm supplying direct links, so you can get there with it.
Brilliant. And thank you ever so much, Tom, for joining us today on the show. Your work is truly inspiring, and I thank you for it. And I thank all of our listeners for tuning in. If you'd like to learn more about NLP, then tune in each week and also visit my website, www.donnablinston.com, or my blog, which is donnablinston.com/blog, where you can pick up a copy of my best-selling book, Psychobabble, A Straightforward Plain English Guide to the Benefits of NLP. You'll also be able to find out about the online webinars and pocket guides, which are filled with tips and tools of NLP to help you clear your mind, cope with the holiday season, relationships and work. Once again, a big thank you for tuning in. And thank you to Tom.
Thank you for having me, Donna.
Show. And also for our listeners, if you'd like to sign up to our newsletter to find out about the up-and-coming shows, then please go to the website where you'll find the direct links. Once again, thank you all for tuning in.
Bye.